Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast, with your host, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter /X at Liftoff Jets. You can follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980. You could also check out his articles at playlikeajet.com every week. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You could find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you can also find us at SportsWire Radio, which is now located at sportswireradio.org. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at ThomasBryce2017, for the scheduling of all the other great shows that are on there. So, Sharman, wash, rinse, and repeat for this team, it seems like.
Yeah, that's basically what it is, man.
I don't think you can talk about the game.
it's not as lucrative as a normal laundromat, never. Unfortunately. Yeah, I mean, we've beaten the dead horse. We all know what the problems are. It is, if no Jets fan didn't know, Zach Wilson was not going to be our savior. He is not that. So it was up to the remaining cast of characters to uplift him as best as they could, and they failed him. Coaches failed him, front office failed him, and the players on the team failed him, basically on offense. This game was the game where the defense kind of coughed up. They had to perform at an incredible level every game to even give them a chance or keep games close. And this game was the game where they just kind of gave up the ghost.
They cracked.
They had been kind of struggling at stopping the run, which is a thing that is a characteristic of these defenses. They were not really made to play that tight game. They played to run with a lead and pin their ears back and rush the pass and cover really good. Down and dirty, blow for blow games, they could win because of their talent and the way they shuffle the defensive linemen around. But after a while, it just kind of grinds on them. And that was basically the time when they kind of gave up the ghost. Of course, as we all know, Zach has been demoted severely, not only to the backup, but now all the way to the third string guy, with Simeon being the backup now and Boyle being the starter. Yeah. A long time coming for most people, because given the vision that was before Aaron Rodgers got injured, was for Zach to probably redshirt it. Don't play for the season. Sit back. As Aaron Rodgers said today on the Pat McAfee show, the plan was to sit Zach now and have him kind of just watch the process, watch how Aaron Rodgers does it, and try to mimic that as best as he can. He never got a chance to do that. It might just be his last season playing quarterback in New York, the way things went.
I think so. And you know what?
Yep.
He should have never been put in this situation. I think that's
agreed.
What the biggest problem was. I think in the offseason, Joe Douglas failed this team. It's as simple as that. He failed this team by, number one, okay, we know what Zach Wilson was last year, right? And you said it, you just said it. They wanted him to be redshirted, to basically sit back and just watch Aaron Rodgers and learn from him all season long. That's a great plan to have. But that should be telling everybody that he's going to be our number three. Our number two should be a legit backup quarterback, whoever it might be. You know, we have the list of names. So that's one, that was number one mistake for him. Number two, he really didn't do anything to fix the offensive line. I mean, his tackles were Dwayne Brown, left tackle. How many games has that guy played this year? And he still can't get on the field. So that was a major mistake. Right tackle, Originally it was supposed to be, I think, Max Mitchell, and you know, we talked about it, right? Becton was rehabbing, and they never really said he was going to start. And then you remember he wanted to start only at left tackle, and they said no, he's going to start at right. Remember that whole thing? Everybody forgets that. But anyway, Becton's great at left tackle. Thank God we had him, because we'd really be, you know, in bad shape. But so offensive line didn't improve that. And then the wide receiver group, we added Lazar and we added Reggie Cobb and a couple of guys off the street, Brownlee, Gibson, right? So I think for me, he definitely failed this team. Now, was this all on, obviously it wasn't all on Zach Wilson. That's my point. And that's why I feel bad for the guy, because is he being scapegoated? Kind of, but it's also the quarterback does get the bigger part of the blame here, right, on the offense. And you know that. No matter how bad the offensive line is, no matter how bad the wide receivers are, the quarterback is always going to get the brunt of the blame, and he's always going to get more of the credit when the offense does well too. So it's understandable. So is he being scapegoating? I know a lot of people were saying that, oh, he's being the scapegoat in this. I agree and disagree at the same sense, because he's the quarterback. He's got to get therapy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, because the few games where he played well, he was the one being credited for playing well, not the fact that the team had the plays. Guys were catching the ball. The line was blocking a little better. And, you know, and he just happened to be putting the ball exactly where he was supposed to. So, yeah, he was getting all this. Oh, look, he's looking. He doesn't look that bad. Oh, look, he's making Aaron Rodgers-like throws. I mean, not a whole game. I mean, we're talking about here. I'm talking about like the half he played against the Chiefs, stuff like that. I'm not talking because there is no complete game that he had this season. So,
right, think about
this
it.
Is not what I'm talking about.
In the four games that we won, he didn't win any one of those four games.
No.
So
they won despite of him.
Right.
And basically, when you have a backup quarterback, that's what you need. You just need him to be steady enough. And that's what he was doing. He wasn't turning the ball over, and he was just making one or two plays. And the defense and special teams and the running game was taking over. And that's what this team was supposed to be. If you're going to have a backup quarterback, you have to be able to survive the time he's allotted. If he's going to play seven games, you have to have a squad that's going to hold up whilst your primary quarterback is down. The problem with the Jets is that they were built for Aaron Rodgers. They were built for a quarterback that was able to take and lead this squad and give them the confidence. Because if Aaron Rodgers is doing Aaron Rodgers things, guess what? Everybody's game gets raised, because that's the kind of player Aaron Rodgers is on that level. The problem is you don't have anybody that could come anywhere close to what Aaron Rodgers could do. And that's the problem. And the squad is just not strong enough to kind of hold the fort whilst Aaron Rodgers is down. And if we take it too far, right? Because I don't want to spend all night speaking on this, because we're having the same conversations every week.
Exactly.
You know, like, we had this conversation when Alan Lazard was signed. I said it. Alan Lazard is not a number two quarterback, wide receiver. He's just not that. He is a third guy at best. You need somebody to be the second guy. And they never went out to do it. That this whole thing, to me, a level to a certain point, this whole believing my guys thing. I mean, I understand to rally the troops, yes. But behind the scenes, I'm like, yo, I love these guys, but man, I need another wide receiver, bro. Like, I need another guy.
Yeah.
Because these guys are just not enough. And the thing that's most frustrating about Lazard is that the struggles were they just kept piling up. You know what I mean? Like, he never, he didn't high point the ball well. You're a 6'5 monster. What are you talking about? High pointing is what you're supposed to do, right? So you're not, you, the thing you're supposed to do with your skill set, you're not doing it. You're not separating because of, you just, that's just not your game. So the fact that you're the second best weapon on this team or used like that, let me correct myself, because that's the thing. In my opinion, this is going to go to what I'm going to say next. He's used like a second level weapon, a number two weapon. Incredibly stupid, in my opinion. Sorry for using the word stupid, but I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, no.
Your second best weapon is supposed to be Breece Hall. How many times did Breece Hall get chances to line up one-on-one on a linebacker or safety as a running back to run a route? How many times? Very little.
Right.
Very little. So misusage of talent in-house, ridiculous, doesn't make any kind of sense. And the concepts and offensive plans all season, game after game, were completely useless. There was nobody executed well enough. The players didn't. There were multiple times where guys ran into places where they're not supposed to. Guys are not doing sight adjusts properly, not understanding where they're supposed to be. I mean, the coaching was just bad. And the concepts were just bad. So put all that in a bag, shake it, and this is what you get. You know? So moving forward, in my opinion, this whole half-hearted thing where you're going into a season with a quarterback that you're not sure about and you're not giving him every last thing you think he needs, where you basically sell out to gain, to make sure that guy gets as all the weapons that he could. I'll give you an example. Remember when the Jaguars started paying wide receivers and running like a bunch of money? You know, remember they got, who'd they get? Christian Kirk from the Cardinals? Everyone's like, oh my God, you're paying him so much money. Oh my God. And then they got somebody else and they paid him a lot of money. Everyone's like, oh my God, they're doing all this. What are they doing all this for?
Because you need watch more wide receiver.
Watch, pay attention. Yes, I know they're a team that's up and down, but pay attention to the difference between that team and the team that before they did this. They knew they had a quarterback that they needed to evaluate. So they made sure they gave him everything he needed. So they know at the end of the day, when the evaluation comes down, it cannot be maybe. They will know exactly who they have because the squad is built to show his flaws or his strengths. And not only that, but to show up those flaws too. So this half-hearted building of this roster, is especially in offense, has been the major issue. And for some reason, yes, last point, we had bodies. Right? We brought bodies in at offensive line. So yes, there were bodies. But that's all they were. Bodies. There was nobody that we could have counted on. Brown couldn't be counted on. Mekhi Becton was a problem because he's been injury prone. That's what's been going on. We prayed that he would have a chance because we know the kind of talent he could be if he stayed healthy. Other than that, what does he have? So, and then from that, it's all a bunch of guys that nobody had a clue what they were going to be. So that's why, as much as I love the Will McDonald pick, I cannot go against anybody that would say, why didn't you draft the guy the Browns got or the guy the Steelers got? Why? Why not?
Definitely. To pick the player is, I think he's going to be a really good player. I don't think he's a bust. I don't think he's bad.
No.
But it's not what we needed at that time. We needed a wide receiver. We needed, I don't think there was an offensive lineman that was drafted. It was right before us. Remember that whole thing where Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, what's his Pittsburgh pick? Yes, right. That's true. You're right. You're right. You're right.
But after that,
but the guy the Browns pick went all the way in the after that, probably the next. Oh man, am I thinking this right? The massive dude. I forget his name. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, whatever it is, in my like.
No, here after us. Check this out. After us, after Will McDonald was drafted, there was cornerback, DB, linebacker, defensive lineman, wide receiver. 1, 2, 3. The next four picks.
Yes.
DB, tight end, defensive line. Then finally, an offensive lineman.
And who was that?
And Anton Harrison from Jacksonville.
Oh, it was Harrison. Yeah.
And then after that, the next offensive lineman was a center that the Rams took, Steve Avila, in the second round.
And Avila is pretty good.
Yeah, but
yeah,
that would have been a reach. But grabbing one of those wide receivers would not be a reach.
No, because some of those guys are being really productive for their teams right now.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been a reach. Or even just trading down a few picks, maybe grabbing an extra third rounder or fourth rounder by trading down, you would have still got probably one of those wide receivers. Or guess what? Maybe Dalton Kincaid, who went 25th.
That's one thing I won't do, is I won't do the whole trading down thing, because listen, you could say you want to trade down, but at the end of the day, that means you have to try to get somebody else to partner with.
Maybe and
you never know what, maybe nobody wants to deal with you trading down, but that means there's something you're trading down for and they really don't want to help you. So I'm not having, the problem is they were where they were and they needed to find, like you said, there was wide receiver talent and they did not pick that up. And right now we could watch the wide receiver room is lacking severely. And that right there, in my opinion, is enough to criticize the pick.
Definitely. And you're going to tell me any one of those five guys, the only guy that's really not doing well is Quentin Johnson. But
yeah, that's it. Which I told you, remember, I hate to say it. I hate to say it. But I remember people were pushing back at the thought. I was like, I think it was Andrew that told me. Andrew was like, he's very talented. I'm like, I don't see it. I don't know why. He's big and tall. Yeah, but I didn't see him as the wide receiver. The guy, to me, no, for some reason, the NFL crapped on Zay Flowers for some reason. Okay.
Not anymore.
You can't say that. You understand me? Because he wasn't in the combine, was he? Was he brought anywhere? We knew when we watched the talent that Zay Flowers was one of the best wide receivers coming out, and they treated him like he wasn't. You know. So anyway,
that's the whole thing. So they basically drafted at 15 Will McDonald, best player available. Okay, if you're gonna say, if that's the argument, you're gonna tell me one of those wide receivers was not close to that talent.
That's bad, Chris. That whole player, best player available thing is always, it always pisses me off.
Especially because I got holes.
Thank you.
When you're the, you know what? When you're the Chiefs, when you're the Eagles,
you could do that.
Right. You could say, listen, I don't care who it is. We're just going to take the best player available. Right. And that's,
right,
somewhat what they do, or they trade down or whatever, but they would not have done that. If they had a huge
team,
they would have drafted one of the wide receivers. And that's what a good GM.
And this is the thing, right? I'm not going to go as far as to say that he's a bad GM. I'm going to say that he had a chance, because this is the thing, right? You get a chance to change things. And a lot of the time, we have to give him that. He has made some critical moves that will set the Jets, set them up in certain positions for a long time. He has also been able to get some guys off the waiver wire and undrafted guys that have actually turned into stars. So we cannot say now that he's a bad GM. All we could say is that he made a horrible mistake. He made a horrible mistake. And I don't, and yeah, more than one mistake. Right. Yes. You know,
he had a really bad year this year.
Horrible. And to me, the way it's looking right now, it almost erases the good year he had the year before. That's how crazy it is.
It is. But you know, that's what the NFL is about. It's not about what you did last year or the year
before. No, it's what you did. Yep.
Right? We don't care. Nobody cares. Right? Nobody cares about, oh, he had a really good draft last year.
Nope.
What about this year? I'm worried. You know, like, and the Jets, we're always the best team about the headlines about what we're going to do next season. Like already, right? Oh, we're going to trade for Davante Adams and we're going to
That's the craziest thing. You know why that is? That is? It's because we are losing. Yeah. When you do not have, and this is why again, this compounds the issue. Because when you just don't, you cannot just say you have enough, because you don't. You cannot tell me you were going to the season thinking that wide receiver core was enough. Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. Or
the quarterback room.
You understand what I'm saying? So you're lacking in place, line. In critical places. You're lacking. Exactly. And then you're telling me you're picking best pick. What are you doing? You know? So, yes, this issue has been compounded multiple ways by multiple things. And I think the most blatant of all is the fact that after making that initial mistake, you have Aaron Rodgers. Everything in the offseason went well. And you did not think, number one, as soon as Aaron Rodgers went down, you did not think, well, here goes the neighborhood. Because the thing that would prop up this lackluster offensive line and lackluster wide receiver room is the Hall of Famer quarterback. He's not here no more. We need to basically go out and shove money in anybody's face that's willing to come and plug in these holes. Oh, no, we'll just sit back here and we'll be fine. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous, you know? And like Chris and I said, man, we've gone way too far talking about this because it's basically the same conversation we've had in several weeks. We all, as Jets fans, we know the deal. We knew what happened. We knew at some point because there were people, Jets fans and Jets content creators that were saying these things. And I know sometimes people just want to be right when they say things, but they had legitimate points. And it, unfortunately, all of it came to fruition. And it, again, just sucks the life out of you as a Jets fan, especially when you got to drive like me from Queens all the way to the stadium and drive back. Every season, how many times? 2-3 times a season, losing, and then driving in that traffic. You know how heart-wrenching that is? I hate doing it. And I love meeting my friends and hanging out, but is it worth it?
I don't think it is. And you know what? We were talking about Breece Hall not getting the ball enough. Now, if you remember, I think it was week 5 against Denver where they said the training wheels were off,
right.
Sound was off, and it was great. 22 carries, 177 yards. He had a great game. Beautiful. Since that game, just to give you the rushing attempts, 12, 12, 16, 13, and 10.
But Chris, listen to me. Listen, that's a great point to a certain extent. There are things or circumstances that create less
I get
running.
I get
you understand me? But Chris, you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Situations, I get that.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying if you can't run the ball, throw him the damn ball. Because the fact that he's a running back, right? And he's so talented with the ball in his hand, guess what? We can't run the ball in the most the way a play you'd say, oh, what a running play is, right? If in the true running form, we can't do it right now. As an offensive coordinator, what do you do? Create situations where you get the ball in the most talented player's hand. So if he was running the ball 10 times, he should have been targeted throwing the ball 10 times
right.
or more. But that never happened, and that's the problem. The problem is there was never a move, a kind of a let's fix it mentality. Let's create mentality. It's hard to watch football. I watch enough NFL football. And when I watch, like I watch the Chiefs and Eagles game, which we'll be talking about in a minute. And you see in game, you see a coach figure out a defense and see how they're attacking and figure out a counter to what they're trying to do. That's crazy. Yeah. And right on our team, we have a defense that does the same thing week in and week out. Come out with answers to problems. And our offensive coordinator had no answers. And that's adds and compiles the issue, makes it even worse.
To make it even worse is that we're going to be stuck with him for another year at least. Because if Rodgers is coming back, which we hope he does, because either way, we're going to get hit with a big cap charge in the next couple of seasons because we got to pay this guy because he's got guaranteed money. So he's coming, but let's assume he's coming back. That means Hackett's coming back. Does the rest of the coaching staff come back? Does the GM cut? Like, are they going to make any changes at all?
They're not, Chris. You know they're not, Chris.
Okay.
You know. Because the last part of the conversation, in my opinion, goes to where I hate going. But it has to be said, right? You make a plan, right? And you notice that the plan ain't working, right? You have to find a way to jump ship. But guess what? Ownership is so involved in football movement that Mr. Johnson will stop. He'll be like, listen, I just paid all this money. You ain't moving right now. You ain't doing nothing. You're going to let it go and let it see how it goes. That's just it. And because of that, nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change. The only thing we could pray for is for Joe Douglas to wake up and go like, hey, you know what? Aaron Rodgers' friends are not enough. We need more talent at wide receiver. We need more tackles. We need more talented offensive linemen. You understand? Yeah. That's all we could pray for, because no, there's not going to be any kind of changes done. Because if you're going to go out here with the same coaching staff and the same offensive coordinator, you better have talent, in my opinion. You better. And pray that Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, because he could raise the game of a squad. But they need, keep in mind again, he's an older quarterback. I don't care if he's Aaron Rodgers. Get him talent. Get him offensive linemen. Get him protection. And get someone talented as a quarterback to back him up. This draft is littered with guys coming next year that have incredible potential. Get one of them. Let them sit behind Aaron Rodgers and learn. I'm done.
Yeah. No, I agree. But that all that what you just said, what should be going on next year, should have been done this year. And that's the frustrating part. Because we're going all in with this guy for a year or two, maybe 3 years at the most. And they did, and it just, that's the frustrating part. So now you're going to go into next year with a 40-year-old quarterback. This year, he wasn't 40 yet. He's going to be 40 in a couple of days. So now he's going to be 40 years old, coming off of the Achilles injury. And he hasn't played all season long, because I doubt if he comes back at all next month, because we're going to be out of the playoffs. So now you're getting a 40-year-old guy coming off surgery who hasn't played in a full season, because he played, what, 4 snaps this year. And we're going to expect this guy to just be Aaron freaking Rodgers when he returns. Former three-time MVP, four-time MVP. We're just expecting that. So good luck to us, because I don't know if that's going to happen. But like you said, build the team around him. And also, just for laughs, get yourself a pretty good backup quarterback this year. Think about that. Hopefully Joe Douglas, or whoever our GM is going to be, Hopefully that happens, because without that, you don't have that safety net. This year, if we had that safety net, we would be talking about playoffs right now. We wouldn't be talking about we're the worst team in the NFL, offensive team in the NFL. We would at least be thinking about, hey, you know what? Maybe we could squeeze into the playoffs this year. We'd have at least two more wins with a decent backup quarterback. Instead, we're floundering around at 4-6 and playing first place Miami Friday. And do you want to get into that game at all? I don't even want to bother, to be honest, but if you want to, you could talk about it a little bit. I don't know what to expect with Boyle now.
Yeah. Maybe he makes better, quicker reads. Maybe he gets the ball out quicker. Maybe he plays within the system and he understands what it. Maybe he makes one or two for the love of the game throws, which Zach Wilson is not capable of. That's what we're wishing for the Jets. For the Dolphins, this team is incredibly dangerous. They have not been their first four or five games of the season selves in the last how many games. It's almost like there's a chink in the armor. But nevertheless, do not forget that at any moment in time, this team could burn you. And they could do it repeatedly from multiple angles. So I'm definitely very uncomfortable with us playing the Jets after what happened. That kind of beating, right? After what happened, I'm incredibly uncomfortable with the Jets playing the Dolphins right now. And I know the one thing that the Jets have been, especially on defense, is resilient. Even after, in the last couple of years, even after taking whoopings, that defense has always shown up. But I'm just incredibly uncomfortable because I don't have to have any faith in the offensive staff and the offensive players. So that's as far as I'm going
to
go.
Yeah. To me, it's simple. To me, it's, and we've had a few of these games already, but to me, this is one of those character games. This is one of those games where it's all on the table, right? It's basically, look what we just did. We're on our losing streak now. Now we got a changing quarterback. Now it's time for everybody on that team to look in the mirror, right? And just say, who am I? And what is this team about? And you guys got to figure it out, because you know what? Next year, a lot of these guys are playing for contracts this year. A lot of them. Even the better players are playing for contracts for next season. So to me, this is where you're going to find out what your team is about, because you're going against the first place Miami Dolphins. And if you want to have any shot at respectability or, God forbid, the playoffs, this is the game to do it. Because if you lose this game, you're done. The team is done. You may as well pack it up, because you're going to be 4-7, and there's no way you're going to run the table winning the last six if you don't win this game to win the last seven to hopefully squeeze into the playoffs. But this is one of those games that the team has to kind of rise up and say, okay, you know what? Enough of these excuses. We don't have this. We don't have that. Whatever. We have injuries. Oh, poor us. Yeah, we're the only team that has injuries. So, you know, you guys got to give us an excuse for this year. No, every team has injuries, right? You think Cincinnati is packing up their bags because they lost their quarterback? I don't think so.
Or the Browns.
Right. The Browns have not had Deshaun Watson has played, what, three games this year? And they're 7-3 with a rookie quarterback and PJ Walker, a guy from the XFL. So they figured it out, right? Like every other team. Well, what's another team that lost their quarterback? Minnesota. Everybody thought, oh, they're done after Kirk Cousins. They're 6-5. They're still in it. Right? I mean, we could go down the line. Nobody thought Houston was gonna win with a rookie quarterback. Oh no.
Yeah. That's a separate conversation, because right. That kid is crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, we could go down the line. All these teams, the Raiders yep. were left for dead. They're down to their backup quarterback. Guess what? They're even better now because they got rid of their coach. So, the excuses are, you can't use excuses like, oh, well, this and that, Zach is being scapegoated, whatever. It is what it is. Figure it out. I said that last week. Figure it out as a team, as coaches. Figure it out. Every other team does it. Other teams don't just go, oh, well, we lost our starting left tackle, so we can't do good now. Oh, we lost our starting quarterback, so our season's over. No, it's not. You owe it to yourselves, you owe it to your coaching staff, and most important for me, you owe it to the fans to keep playing and not give up. And I hope that that wasn't the start last week of this team giving up, because that's what it kind of looked like, because the defense was like, listen, we can't keep doing this. We can't keep, you know, making our stops, and then you guys go three and out every series, you know, or turning the ball over, opening kickoff, turn the ball, you know, like the defense is like, come on, man, you got to give us a break. And eventually they broke. So that's why I think it's going to be a do or die game for them. You know, I said that if they lost the next two games, they would be done. This is the second game. So we'll see. Before we get into the games for next week, and we'll look back a little bit at last week, I wanted to talk to you about this survey that the players did. The Athletic put it out there. And they answered some questions that are pretty obvious, like best player in the game today. We all know, right? Patrick Mahomes. Who else do you think like got a lot of votes?
Lamar Jackson?
Not Patrick Mahomes level, but who else?
Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson got 6%. Patrick Mahomes, for example, got 46% of the vote.
Sheesh. Oh, wow.
A defensive player.
What's his name? the Rams defensive tackle?
Yep. Aaron Donald, 8.9%.
Aaron Donald.
Tyreek Hill got 7%.
Hill, right.
Hmm?
Yeah, Garrett Hill. Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
What did TJ Watt get? Did he get any?
He didn't get any. He might have been, you know what, other got 13%, so he might have been one of the others.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. Yeah. So, all right, here's another one. Who do you think the biggest trash talker was?
Oh, wow. Oh.
Nobody.
Got to be a defensive player.
Yeah, the top two are defensive players. Oh. Top three, top four, five, top five.
Yeah. Top five. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Anybody in the Cowboys defense?
No.
No? Wow. Okay. Okay.
This guy's on Detroit. I'll give you that.
From Detroit?
Yeah.
Really?
He was just on Philly.
Gardner Johnson.
Yep. 24. Yeah. It's almost a quarter.
That's
following
funny.
Him was Jalen Ramsey at 16%.
Yeah, makes sense.
Brandon Graham, 8.6%.
Really?
Simmons. I you know what? Just.
Oh, Jeffrey Simmons makes sense too. Yes. Yeah.
Marcus Peters. And the first offensive.
Oh, yeah.
Is DK Metcalf.
Yeah, that also makes a lot of sense. That's funny. But I did think it was going to be more defensive players.
Which current coach do you think most players would want to play for, aside from their own coach? Who do you think they picked?
Offensively, the 49ers coach.
He, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's down like 6. He got 5% of the vote.
Really?
Yeah, head coach.
Head coach.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams coach?
Sean McVay, 5.6%.
Sheesh, man.
Think of a guy who
Big Red, the Chiefs coach.
He got 10%.
Okay.
Two people got voted higher. One is a shocker to me, but one is not. Think of a guy who always wins. He always finds a way to win. May not be winning playoff games, but he's always winning games.
It's not Belichick. Most definitely not.
No, I don't think anybody wants to play.
Nobody wants to play with Belichick.
2% of the vote he got, Belichick.
Oh, I'm done. Tell me.
Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
26%.
Yeah, he's the player's coach. Yeah.
Second.
Makes sense.
Second most votes, 14%. I don't get this, but Mike McDaniel already gets that vote.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm surprised.
I guess. I mean, we were both surprised at how well he coached last year in his first year. I mean, you know, he definitely did more than we thought he would have done. And they've been really good this year for the most part. So,
I guess,
you know.
What this is more like, all right, what's the best stadium to play in? What do you think? Which one's at the...
That's tough.
And they went by everything, like atmosphere and all that.
The Chiefs?
Yep.
Yeah, Arrowhead. Yeah.
Almost 18%, followed by US Bank Stadium, which is Minnesota, I think. Is that US
Bank? I think. Isn't it? Who's US Bank again?
I think it's US Bank. And then SoFi is California. I mean,
yes,
the Rams.
It's Vegas. And SoFi, then, isn't SoFi this the Vegas?
Oh right, maybe yeah, you're right.
Yeah, SoFi is Vegas. Yeah.
Okay. What about worst stadium to play in?
Us.
Yep.
Yep. I've heard enough NFL players complain about this, about the Jets.
And FedEx is right stadium. Behind.
Yeah, that makes sense too. Yep.
Yeah, one quote. As for MetLife, where both the Giants and Jets play, a player voiced that the turf sucks and the whole place is lame. Another agreed about the turf, adding that the fans are horrible. Everything about that place is horrible. So there you go. We won in something.
Yes. At last.
Here's another. This is an easy one, too. Who got the most annoying fan base? The most votes?
Us two?
No. We only got 6.8%. Two teams were close.
Most annoying fan. Cowboys.
They're second, 24%.
Who's number one?
It's another fan base that everybody hates. Everybody hates.
The Eagles?
Yep.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Here. Just loud, rude, and obnoxious, one player said of Eagle fans who might be nodding along in agreement at this moment. They swear they're the biggest football gurus on earth. Said a player who picked the Cowboys. They usually think they should win the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah, that is true.
That is true. And the other one, too, that I thought was interesting was turf versus grass. Was it overblown or real concern? 82% said it's a real concern.
Yeah. Again, this is something we hear over and over again. I listen to enough players' interviews on podcasts and stuff where they complain openly, constantly about playing on turf. Nobody likes this.
I know.
This is a ownership thing. This is them, you know, because the thing about grass is that it's a lot of money to take care of. It gets ripped apart, and you can't reuse it like you could reuse turf. The thing about stadiums is stadiums have to make money too. So you can't go play a football game today and play another football game tomorrow on grass. It's almost impossible, you know, because it gets ripped up and it's hard to get it back. And yep. If you try, it's going to cost you a ton of money to try to get it back into shape for the next day. And they just don't want to do it. They're losing too much money doing it. So it's also inefficient.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah.
And then the other thing Tom Brady said on the Stephen A. show, talking about there's a lot of mediocrity in today's NFL. He goes, I don't see the excellence that I saw in the past. He continued, the coaching isn't good as it was. I don't think the development of young players is good as it was. The rules have allowed a lot of bad habits to get into the actual performance of the game. The product, in my opinion, is less than what it's been. I look at a lot of players like Ray Lewis and Rodney Harrison and Ronnie Lott, guys that impacted the game in a certain way. Every hit they would have made would have been a penalty. You hear coaches complaining about their own players being tackled. Why don't they talk to their player about how to protect themselves? To work on fundamentals of those things all the time. Now they're trying to be regulated all the time. And he continued, offensive players need to protect themselves. It's not up to a defensive player to protect an offensive player. A defensive player needs to protect himself. I didn't throw the ball to certain areas because I was afraid players were going to get knocked out. That's the reality. I didn't throw it to the middle when I played Ray Lewis because he'd knock them out of the game and I couldn't afford to lose a good player. What'd you think about all that?
I'm right here. I'm with him. We've had this conversation too, Chris. We spoke about back then, because we've been doing podcasts now for a long time. Back then, when we were talking about the spiraling of the of specific positions in the NFL, there's a reason why quarterback and offensive line play in the NFL is subpar. And those positions are probably some of the most intricate and detailed positions. And the reason, and they do a lot of walkthroughs, and they don't actually do a lot of hands-on work because they can't. They don't. Every week, it's governed by the NFL that you're only supposed to put in a certain amount of time playing physical, because they're trying to protect players. Unfortunately, this is an overcorrection, in my opinion, to answer the issue of the lawsuits by players for being, you know, torn up the way they've been torn up playing the NFL. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So this is what it looks like. All of this stems from these lawsuits. All the bad calls that you see in the NFL right now, where a running back is actually getting fined because he lowered his head running into another player. You know, a quarterback is running the ball, he gets smashed. Oh, he was a defensive player. How? You once you took the ball and you started running forward as a quarterback, you're not a quarterback no more. You're a running back. You know. So again, I can't disagree with Aaron Rodgers, with Tom Brady at all on that, on what he's saying. People might hate Tom Brady and maybe say, hey, listen, guess what? You benefited from a lot of those rule changes over the years, and that's one of the reasons why you won. Hey, whatever it is, even if he did, that he didn't tell no lie, in my opinion. It is what it is.
I agree, because I'm all for player safety, but also you don't want to change the game, you know, from what it was, you know, then, because right now they're changing the game as they go along with all these safety regulations. And like you said, the quarterback, you basically can only hit him from his waist up to the chest. Anywhere else, you're going to get penalized. So it doesn't matter, you know. And even if you tackle him, you have to tackle him on his side and maybe not on top of him and all this kind of stuff. So I definitely think some of these safety rules or whatever, changing the rules is way too far, because it's affecting the game. You don't want to make a change that's going to affect the game. Listen, this is a physical game, regardless. It is what it is. And players know it going into it. Coaches know it. So
did you see the Jets safety break his finger and his bone was protruding from his glove?
Yeah.
From a tackle where he just fell and his hand just kind of dragged and got caught in the turf. That's all that happened. And the force of him, of his weight and his hand getting caught on the turf, basically broke his finger to the point where the bone was protruding out of the glove.
Yeah.
That's a violent game.
It is what it is. It's football.
There's nothing you could do that could stop him from happening. It just happens. You're playing this game. It's a given. Once you chose to play football, you knew that you would get torn up and might severely risk your whatever amount of time you would have lived after playing football, you would be in crutches or whatever. People make those choices, and they know what comes with it.
Exactly. I think eventually it's going to be flag football. That's what we're going by. But
I know.
Let's hope it doesn't. So
I hope so too.
Let's get into some games. Let's talk about last week quick. I think start off with Cincinnati at Baltimore. Baltimore beat them 34-20, but the big story is Joe Burrow going out with the wrist injury, done for the year. What do you think?
The Ravens also lost Andrews, with that hip drop tackle, talking about the competition committee.
That's another,
I think that's something that's going to be outlawed at some point.
That's coming. Because
people putting all their weight down on players, and, you know, that's going to be an issue. I think the Ravens' offense under Todd Monken has become, week after week, has become a little bit more multiple, which in today's NFL is everything. Instead of doing two or three things great, you have to be able to do multiple things good. And they could play power football. They could play finesse. They could out finesse you. They could outrun you. Then you have Lamar Jackson being able to stand in the pocket and be patient instead of running off, and getting the ball to Flowers and getting the ball to Beckham, who could separate and cause issues for you. So I don't know what that offense would look like without Andrews, because Andrews puts a lot of pressure on the middle of defenses. And without that, it'll be very interesting to see how they go moving forward. But on the other side, the Bengals, losing Joe Burrow, man. I'm sorry, but I don't know what they could do without him. He is an incredible high level game changer. And yes, the team is stacked. Yes, they have talent everywhere, and they will perform, and they might win one or two games, but I don't see them, especially the fact that they were already behind, losing so many games in their conference, that they're gonna go anywhere this year.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Chicago almost beats the Lions. They actually had a 26-14 lead with about 4:20 left. And they ended up losing the game 31-26. What are your thoughts?
That was Fields' first game back, right?
Yeah.
You know, his talent shows up, you know, and with his talent, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot that could be done. And there are talented players on the Bears. So you will see them flash. You will see them play. Unfortunately, to me, in the long run, they need to implement more to make this team more viable in the future. The Lions, on the other hand, the only thing I'm worried about is their defense. Come on. If you have a team that's so offensively sound, and they're, guess what? There's the reason why they traded for that pass rusher from Washington, right?
Yep.
Yeah, because guess what? The Lions are going to be scoring points. So they need a defense that could chase and get to the quarterback. And they just haven't been able to do that consistently enough. And that kind of exposes them a little bit, especially when their offense is not humming. So I'm not too worried. I think a lot too many teams are going to have issues with the Lions going forward, because they're so talented that and I think making sure that the Sweat and what's the kid's name, the other pass rusher, I think given time, they will kind of coordinate and play better. But yeah, in this game, I think it just showed a little bit of a crack in the armor. I don't think it's something to worry about.
Houston beats Arizona 21-16. But CJ Stroud, I think he threw three picks in that game.
Yes. Yes. But
they still figured it out and came out. He still threw for 336 yards and a couple of touchdowns, but he did throw three picks.
You saw a little bit of a chicken arm of hair also, right? But sometimes you forget the kid. He's a rookie. Yeah, you know. But the fact that I make a few mistakes and yes, and guess what I will do? I'll still go 10 incompletions, 27 for 37. I'll still throw 336 yards. Throw two touchdowns.
Yep.
That's crazy. That's crazy. That's high level quarterbacking, in my opinion, as a rookie. And you have again Singletary. Remember what I said last week. Take a player that's incredibly talented and put him with a coach that knows how to use his talents, and you see what he is. And 22 carries, 112 yards, one touchdown.
Yep.
Over 5 yards average for a clip. This is what we're talking about. You know, change of scenery, coaching that knows how to use their personnel. That's what you've seen over in at the Texans. I'm pretty happy with what the coaches are doing over there.
And right now that they're in the playoffs, so you know, pretty amazing. A team that we were not thinking about, but they are in the playoffs.
You get the quarterback, and it changes a lot. And listen, we can't really speak about the team without mentioning the fact that defense have been humming too. There's a lot of young guys on that defense that are just balling. You know, we have like we were talking about another incredible game for Blake Cashman in he had a sack, he had multiple coverage game, really awesome coverage plays. He had 10 tackles, I think. Shh, come on, man, he's playing well. We had we remember the kid, the safety Petrie, Stingley's balling. Man, Will Anderson is still young, but you could see the talent. They got players, man. And they're playing, they're showing up, young guys, and they're showing up when needed.
Miami holds on to beat the Raiders 20-13. I didn't think it would be this close, but
yeah. The Raiders have been playing better. Again, I said last week, or whenever I said it, that normally you take a failing team, they take the coach out, you inject a little bit of energy with a new coach and a new system. The energy was there, but the Dolphins is just a better team. And even if the Dolphins are not humming right now and teams have kind of figured out a way to kind of take away some parts of their offense at times, the issue is, again, like I mentioned when we previewed the Jets-Dolphins game, the Dolphins is a team that could just explode at any point. They have so many players that could beat you. They have the Achane kid, they have Waddle and Hill, who had that long touchdown. And that's it. They just need that one play. And unfortunately, that's the difference in the game, in the Raiders game, is that the Dolphins just made two or more plays better than the Raiders, and that was it.
Yeah. Philadelphia against Kansas City. There was the Monday night game. We just watched it. 21-17. Philly came back and won. The one thing that really bothers me about the Chiefs, because I think their defense looked great last night, the one thing that bothers me is the offense, surprisingly. This is the third straight game that they did not score in the second half of their game, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And last time you seen kind of why, with the drops and the fumble by Kelsey and the pick in the end zone by Mahomes. They're making mistakes that you normally don't see this team make.
A lot of mistakes, a lot of miscues. And basically what that tells me is when it's a well coordinated, you know, when, what's the word I'm looking for? Okay. You know how the first 10, 15 plays of the game is something that they work hard on. They kind of, it's scripted. When they go in and they make adjustments, come in after the half, these adjustments have not been able to work. And a lot of it is probably primarily because of their skill position guys being subpar. In my opinion, that's what it is. That's part of the game anyway, but it's a major part of it, in my opinion. So that's the main thing I saw. Another thing I saw was just, we have to give the Eagles offensive coordinator a ton of credit, because the Chiefs had an incredible game plan. And the fact that the Chiefs kept adjusting to a lot of what the Eagles were doing, trying to take away, but almost play after drive after drive, the Eagles were coming up with different formations to attack the different ways the Chiefs were willing to attack them on defense. And that was incredible. That was an incredible chess match between the offensive coordinator for the Eagles and the Chiefs defensive coordinator. It was it was incredible to see, and this is like football at its highest, in my opinion. The craziest thing about it was the Chiefs should have won this game. Yeah. If it wasn't for multiple drops, like you said.
Oh, especially on that last drive. I think two guys, Scantling dropped that long pass that would have probably been a touchdown.
And that pick that Mahomes threw, in my opinion, he basically, it looked like an identical play they had run before. And the fact that he thought that that play was going to be there after, these safeties in the NFL, man, you can't do them like that, man. They see stuff and they remember it. There were multiple times this weekend watching games where safeties were like, oh, you did this to me. I think it was in the Ravens game. This one wasn't the safety. I think it was Patrick Queen watching a trap play and like noticing it pre-snap that he's like, oh, you're trying to do this again? And then basically kind of just firing right in a spot and taking down the running back in the backfield because he kind of noticed the play pre-snap. You have to disguise it better in the NFL, man, because these guys study too much. And yeah, it was just a bad throw because you should have anticipated that the safeties would have seen that coming, man.
True, especially a veteran like Byard, you know, Byard. So
Ben Byard, yeah, exactly. Yep.
All right, so let's get some Week 12 games in. Some of the bigger matchups. I would say one matchup on Thanksgiving Day is, you know, kind of sticks out to me, the San Fran at Seattle game. San Fran, you know, they look like they're back in gear. Seattle is the one that's, I don't know, they've been slacking a little bit the last few weeks. They lost again this week to the Rams. And we're starting to see
offense is moving. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. We're starting to see the Jets version of Geno Smith, which is not a good version.
No, no, sir.
He might be out this week too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I know he got hurt at the end of that game.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what's his, but Seattle has issues. They would, you know, the way they went into the season was thinking that Geno was, he wouldn't regress to the mean, right? After the season that he had. And unfortunately, it seems like slowly, game to game, he's just coming back to us. It's not good.
No.
Normally, Pete Carroll's answers to quarterback issues is run the ball. Unfortunately, they're 27th in the NFL I'm running. So that's not even an answer. So they don't have a backup plan right now on offense. So it's sad to watch, man, because now they got to go and retool and figure out how to turn this on. Unfortunately, they not against this team, because this team is a buzzsaw. And if you don't have your stuff right, it's going to be a long game.
It looks like it's gonna be might be a game time decision with him. So if he's not starting, I think they're gonna be in really bad shape.
Yes, sir.
Against their friend. Another big game that sticks out. How about the Buffalo at Philly game?
Buffalo beat the Jets, right? And everybody is talking like Buffalo. It's like, you got to be scared of this team. Oh, my goodness. You know?
Well,
this the same call? Chris, what conversation before the Jets game, that weekend before that, what was the conversation around the NFL about the Bills?
What's wrong?
You remember? Right. Exactly. Thank you. So you're telling me that the Jets is a get-well game? That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Someone's totally wrong. You don't get well against the Jets. You don't. We're bad.
You're supposed to.
What are you talking? Exactly. Your problems haven't gone anywhere. They're still there. And guess who you're playing? The best team in the NFL. They're going to expose your flaws. That's what they're going to do. So all the talk and all the bravado of beating the Jets like it was something you did. Like that was something you did. Come on.
And you know
Come
what?
on, man.
And Buffalo's here's their upcoming schedule. After the Philly game, they got their bye week. Then they go to Kansas City, come home to play Dallas, and then they go to the Chargers. That's their next four games. Then they play and then they finish off in Miami.
After all the bravado, after all the talk, there was a play where one of the linebackers or whoever he was sacked Zach Wilson, and he basically rubbed his whole body against his face, like, you know, being disrespectful. Nobody called him out. Right. The whole emotional reaction by our resident monster, which he hasn't been all season, with Dawkins, and Dawkins basically flopping and acting, hey, look at me. I want to see what you look like after this game. All that crap you're talking about, I want to see what you look like after playing the Eagles. That's what I want to see.
Exactly. Let's see. If they beat the Eagles, then we could start talking about Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's
the only time because in my opinion, there's nothing they haven't gotten right.
Right.
Because you don't get right against an opponent that's weaker than you. That's not how you get right.
No. You get right just if they can.
Yes, sir. Yes. If you could go into that stadium and beat them, yeah, tip of the cap to you.
I didn't think this game would be that close, but I think this is going to be a tight game now because Kansas City is struggling a little bit offensively. They go play the Raiders in Las Vegas, and the Raiders, even though they lost last week, they've been playing much better since they got rid of McDaniel.
Yeah, like I said, the injection of energy into a team after that you take the embattled coach is something that happens all the time. I can't, if you just follow NFL games enough and notice after a team coach is fired, there is an injection of energy. Everybody's jumping around. Remember, they win games. They're smoking cigars after the game. Oh, my goodness. Everybody's in. People are scoring touchdowns when they weren't before. You know, right. Everybody's hyped. Guess what? At some point, your feet are going to touch the ground. After all that time being above the ground. And yeah, and right. I just don't think that offense is ready for the Chiefs defense at all. So, I don't think this game is going to be close as you think. I know that the Chiefs are struggling on offense right now. I understand that. But they've just played the best team in the NFL, in my opinion, in the Eagles. And they were two drops away from winning this game.
Yep.
So, yeah. No, it's not close.
Tampa, who's been hanging in, right? They're 4-6, so they're kind of still in it. And they go to Indianapolis, who are they're like winning games. They're 5-5. This is another team. We're not expecting much from them, but they're kind of hanging in.
Yeah, well coached team. Very what did I say? They're kind of, you know. They remind me of this, of short guys, you know, like, you know how short guys are like, you know how they have a Napoleon complex, you know, it's like, you're the bigger guy. You want to fight a short guy. I don't know, man. This is not a good look, you know, because for the most part, most of the time that David and Goliath thing is for real.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what the Colts remind me of. They don't particularly do a lot of things well, but it just seems like they're always around. They're almost like a gnat, you know, annoying. You know, they just do enough to be annoying. And that's a good thing in the NFL, in my opinion. It shows character. So I like that about them. The thing about the Buccaneers that I don't think a lot of people are talking about is the fact that Baker Mayfield has been pretty good. Yeah. He's been pretty good, and you know that they're supposed to be better on defense. They have talent, but they haven't been playing that well on defense, unfortunately. But the passing game is what's been, in my opinion, the better part about it. That's what makes everything. It's like the icing. You know, they have great icing, but I don't know if the cake tastes that good.
And you know what, with the Colts, you know, we were talking about it earlier. They waived their three-time All-Pro, Shaquille Leonard.
Yeah. Don't know what the deal is over there. I know that it just go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
I was gonna say, supposedly it was about playing time. He wasn't getting a lot of playing time.
Yeah. They like the young players they have, and they've been showing up. A lot of the guys that they have that were playing in his stead when he was injured and was coming back from his injury, these guys have been pretty good. And I guess the team was kind of slowly walking him in. And this is what there is kind of a heavy-handed approach to things in Indianapolis by the front office and ownership. That's kind of annoying. You know who Leonard is. He's been your star player for long enough. I don't think, you know, since he's come, he's asking for playing time. I don't think that's a negative. No, I don't think that you use that as an argument to like walk him out the door. That's crazy, in my opinion. Yeah. It's the same thing about the issue they had with their running back before. You know, why did it have to get so, you know, tense and so dirty and nasty and stuff being written in articles and stuff when they knew they needed him and they were going to sign him anyway? It's right. Ridiculous, you know? So I don't know completely what's with the whole Leonard thing, but it just sounds stupid because he's been so good for them for so long that having him walk in this way is, to me, a tragedy.
Yeah. To me, it makes no sense. I mean, he's not even, you know, he's not an old player either. What is he? Maybe 27, 28. He's 28 years old.
Yeah. Crazy.
So I don't get it. And finally, we'll talk about the Sunday night game, Baltimore at the Chargers. Baltimore, like you said, we were talking about it earlier. Andrews is out. That's definitely going to affect them big time.
Yes.
Chargers are Chargers, right? I mean, we say it all the time. It's another game that should have won against Green Bay last week.
And yep.
So.
Makes absolutely no sense.
I don't know what's going on.
Nope. There's no real formula to what they do. That's the sad thing about it. They lost Bosa now for the season with that injury. What was it? What, an ankle? Did he break his ankle or something?
Something like that.
So that compounds the issue because they were already being spotty with their pass rush, except when they play the Jets. but that's not a good look when you're playing against one of the more dangerous teams in the NFL. And I said how multiple they are on both fronts. They could attack you in so many different ways on offense, and they could attack you so many ways on defense. They're incredible. Probably the best. I think they're the best team against the run in the NFL. And they're not that far against stopping the pass either, because their pass rush is heavy. They got so many rotational guys that are so good at getting to the quarterback. And then you have the emergence of the safety that you know, everybody loved to hate, because, you know, they never thought, oh, there's no way he's all world. Well, if you watch that game he played last week, guess what? He's becoming that. This guy is playing in the box. He's playing deep downfield. He's blitzing. He's doing everything. And he's making some massive plays for the Ravens. And in my opinion, he's just getting started. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chargers don't have a chance.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Chargers are just, again, they figure out ways to lose. And I it's just a matter of time before that head coach gets fired, Staley.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know who they could bring in, but they got to do a full change, a full change there. Because
he's supposed to be a defensive guy and the defense is not being good. Right. That's not good.
So, yeah. So, absolutely, you know, some really good games this week, obviously. And as we get closer to the end of the season, you know, like, now we could start talking about playoffs. And just quickly, if you want to look through the standings, especially the playoffs, like the wild cards, like right now in the AFC, you got Cleveland at 7-3 with the wild card, and Houston and Pittsburgh at 6-4 each. They got the wild cards right now. But you got Buffalo at 6-5, Indy at 5-5, Denver 5-5, Cincy 5-5, Vegas 5-6, and then us and the Chargers at 4-6. So let me ask you this. Out of those three teams, Cleveland, Houston, and Pittsburgh, do you think they all make the playoffs? Which one do you think doesn't make it? What are your thoughts?
Houston is probably the team that's going to make it, because there's a major issue with the Steelers and the Browns. The Browns have a quarterback that's unproven, and the Steelers have a quarterback that's proven that he's not good. That's about it. The Texans, on the other hand, they're basically fueled by their young quarterback. Again, he's not going to be perfect all season. He's going to make rookie mistakes. But guess what? What he does with on the other side of those mistakes is make incredible plays. And he has enough young talent around him, which this is what teams supposed to do. Draft a quarterback and give him a ton of talent around him. That's what you do. And it's coming. It's paying dividends for them. So I will go Texans.
Okay, out of those, but you still got two more wild cards. Who do you think gets the other two?
Bills.
Oh man, it's hard because
that's tough, teams, man.
They all got question marks.
Yeah.
Remember
Bills has to, bro. Listen. Bills yeah, have to do it. They just right. have to. I think the team that's gonna surprise is the Broncos. I'm gonna go with the Broncos.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with the Broncos.
And then quickly we'll look at the NFC in the wild card right now. Dallas 7-3, Seattle 6-4, and Minnesota 6-5 have the three wild cards. Now after that, it gets really messy, right?
Messy.
Green Bay, Rams, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay, all 4-6. So they're all game or so back. And then you got Washington at 4-7. And then I'm not going to say the rest. So what team do you think out of the 4-6 teams, Tampa, Atlanta, the Rams, and Green Bay, which one do you think could get into the wild card? If they could. Give me one team.
Oh, my God. Come on, man. This is tough.
I know.
The problem here is nobody has a quarterback.
Right. I was going
to
say, yeah.
That's the problem. And for you to do that, what you're asking is for them to have a quarterback. The problem with the Buccaneers is if their defense was performing, I would lean them a little bit. But they're not. They're not. They're bad against the run. They're bad against the pass. They're just bad right now. That's not good. I think they're overall 24th in the league on defense. Hey, come on, man. Their passing game is all they have. And they're last in the league at rushing the ball. You don't go far doing anything like this. So I can't believe in any of those guys. The only team I could think of is the Rams, because they're so talented on offense.
Yeah.
And I just believe in this coach. This coach is somebody that goes there. His game plans, his forward thinking, his innovation is something that I like, you know, and that could elevate them. I just do not right now believe in most of those teams, unfortunately.
Yeah, me either. They're just really bad.
Yeah.
I think those wild cards are going to stay right there. Dallas, Seattle, Minnesota. I think they're going to change. The only thing, maybe one of the South teams could overtake New Orleans, because New Orleans is at 5-5 leading the division. So maybe Atlanta or Tampa at 4-6 could catch them. You never know, but I don't know. It's ugly.
It is very ugly.
Yeah. I'm sure things are going to change in the next couple of weeks, but I just wanted to get a little bit of a preview of what the playoffs are looking at like right now. But all right, that's our show this week. Thank you for joining us as always. We appreciate it. Have a great Thanksgiving this week with your families. safe travels, all that. And we'll see you guys next week.
Take it easy. Enjoy.